A very pleasant afternoon to you. We hope and pray that you are joining us right now with open Bible, pencil in hand, and ready to take notes as we go to the Bible and find the answers to the questions that are on your heart. We thank you for joining us today, the 8th of September, and we're glad that you have a desire to know what God says in His Word. So get out your Bibles and get out paper and pencil to write down answers so that you can check these things out to see whether we are, in fact, letting the Bible speak or whether we're coming up with something of our own. Our desire is only for people to listen to God, because when all is said and done in this life, there's going to be a lot more said than done, first of all. But when God, when we stand before Him, the only thing that matters is what He has been telling us, not what man has told us. And so we've got to go to the Bible in order to sort that out, to be able to find out what the Bible says, what God says in His Word. And so, ladies and gentlemen, as we continue to repeat this phrase, let the Bible speak, please make certain that you are thinking, well, we're letting God speak, because when the Bible speaks, it is God speaking. And if you have doubt about that, you can go to our website and we will furnish you a number of proofs that will help you to understand that, yes, the Bible is the Word of God. There is a great amount of evidence to prove this. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And so the Bible furnishes us thoroughly with evidence to prove that it is from God, and it furnishes us thoroughly to every good work. And so we are not ashamed to be able to share with you what God says in His Word as we let the Bible speak today. And we want you to know that you're free to call us right now at the station. This is a live broadcast, and you can call us at 308-9564. The lines are both open right now, so go ahead and call, and we will get your question. You can have it written down and brought into us, or you can go live over the air. Now, if you want to go live over the air, all you have to do is to give us your name and be ready to turn your radio down. And that way there will not be a confusing echo and thus causing confusion, and thus we're able to discuss what God says in His Word, and that's exactly where we'll go to God's Word. Now, why? Why is this so important? In Galatians chapter 1, beginning with verse 6, it brings out how important this is. He says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him that's called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there are some that would pervert the gospel of Christ. And Paul says, even if we, verse 8, even if we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we've preached to you, let him be accursed, anathema, annihilated. It is like a super curse. He said it not only once, verse 9, he says it again. He, God, says it again. We do not have the right to come up with anything new. If it's new, it's not true. So that's why that we have this broadcast, for us to go to the Bible for all the answers that pertain to life and godliness, for therein you will find those answers in God's Word. So make certain you have your Bible, or at least paper and pencil, so you can write down the references that we give you directly out of God's Word. Again, the number, the voice line is 308-9564. If you have a cell phone or if you have your computer, you can listen to us online and go directly to our cell phone here and give us your question, and we will go to the Bible for the answers that you might text us. Now, we have a text number. That number is 725-9283. So please get ready to have the questions answered from God's Word. We will be glad to get your questions right now. The voice line, 308-9564. The text line is 725-9283. That's the text line. And you can communicate with us, and we will go directly to the Bible. So let's go ahead and get started on today's broadcast. Go ahead and call in your question right now, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak. Steve?
Again, we appreciate so much your listening from week to week, and it is a pleasure and an honor and a privilege to be able to converse with you and to study what the Scriptures teach to us. We also will be advertising a Bible correspondence course throughout this program, and many people have taken that over the three-county area and have enjoyed it, have benefited from it, and many have finished and received their certificate because of their efforts, and others have taken even more courses to follow up for that. That gives you an idea of their interest, and it gives you an idea of the potential that we have to encourage Bible study, and that we are certainly willing to do that. And all of those Bible correspondence courses are free. Again, we're interested in letting people study the Bible, let the Bible speak to them in their own home as they open up their Bible and study those courses with each other or by themselves. We also have a website, BibleAlone.com. There is a lot of information on there that Ricky has just talked about concerning evidences that will be helpful to you in encouraging further Bible study. And so we want to be able to encourage you along those lines, too. And as you have heard us say from time to time, that we offer Let the Bible Speak meetings and various places in your home. If you have some friends together, if you've got a community center, and you've got some friends that are be interested in having a Bible study, we would be glad to come do that and help you with that. And if you would like to have just a personal study, then we also are available for that. And if you would call that number, 553-5157, and leave your name and address, then that's an easy way for that to be accomplished. And so, again, we've got several different means and methods that we would like to present the Scriptures for you and with you so that you can understand more of what the Bible says, and we can just let the Bible speak for you.
Talking about the website, there are several resources there that will be helpful to you. The correspondence course, at least the first set, is on there. You can download those at any time and send them in. We'll grade them. Or if you just rather call, you can call right now and leave your name and address at 553-5157. To say a little bit about the correspondence course, it is, of course, free. Everything we offer on this broadcast is free, and every resource on our website is absolutely free. We have freely received, and we freely give. The Lord expects that kind of process. It is not a matter of getting money or even intimidating people to give. We don't even ask for it. We are happy to share with you the wealth that God has so blessed us with. And we're talking about spiritual wealth. The idea that what the Lord has blessed us with is a treasure in heaven. And that's where we should lay up for ourselves in this life. And that is that which will never be taken away. So go ahead and call for the correspondence course, 553-5157. Now, I'm aware that maybe some of you are from different parts of the world. And the area code here is area code 843 for all of our phone numbers. You may have tuned in through our website via the internet, and you can do that by just going to, if you have a relative or friend that lives in another part of the world, that you can tell them to go to our website, which is www.BibleAlone.com, BibleAlone.com, and they can hit the live stream button right now, and they will be with us. As far as them listening, they can, and if they would like to use that means to even text us a question, they can write from the website itself, they can text us, and it will come to the station right here and now, and so they can join us just like they're here locally with us. And so that, again, that website is www.BibleAlone.com. They can go live and listen to the radio broadcast and also text us through that means. And so there's no reason why anybody we know and love could not partake of this broadcast today to be able to have their answers from God's Word on things that pertain to life and godliness. We're going to be doing something later on in the broadcast we want you to stay tuned for. We're going to start and give you what we have seen through the years are the five top reasons how the great deceiver, that is Satan, the devil, has deceived the religious groups of our day. There are five things that he has been very effective in causing religious groups to swallow hook, line, and sinker, and it very well may be part of the group where you might be worshiping. So stay tuned for that. We'll probably do that around 2 o'clock. So don't leave us during the broadcast, and we'll be glad to share that with you around that time. The top five ways that the evil one, the devil, has deceived religious people into thinking that they are that all is right, when in fact, according to the Bible, it's just not right at all. And again, so let's try to stay tuned for that. We're going to share that with you later on during the broadcast. But right now, if you have a question, you can call in your question. The voice line is open, so go ahead and call right now. As many of y'all know, the questions tend to pile up, and many of y'all cannot get through at the toward the end of the broadcast. So don't miss out on this. And the number is 308-9564. The lines are available. Everything is waiting for your question to come in, and we will let the Bible speak to those things that are on your mind and heart. Possibly something has happened today in church or you've wondered about. Go ahead and call in your question, and we will get it on today's broadcast, and we'll go to the Bible. If there's a Bible answer for it, we'll find it and go there and read it directly from God's Word. It's time for us to take our first break. While we are at break, we're going to tell you about this correspondence course. Go ahead and call to get it. It is free. We'll send it to you in tomorrow's mail. That number is 553-5157. Here's more details on this. If you've already got the course, go ahead and call in your question, and we will be glad to answer it as soon as we come back. Again, that number for the correspondence course is 553-5157. And the number to call in your question here at the studio is 308-9564. We'll be right back. I think you just got the numbers there. 308-9564 is the voice number. So if you would like to call in your question right now, there's an operator here to answer the telephone. They can have it written down or write it down and bring it into us. Or you can go live over the air. And so the choice is yours. The question is yours. The topic is yours. But the answers are going to come from God, from His Word, as we let the Bible speak. So don't miss out. Go ahead and call in your question right now. 308-9564. Now, if you want to text us, you can text us, communicate through your cell phone as well. And that is an avenue that is becoming more and more popular today. And so this number is 725-9283. 725-9283. That's the text line. And we'll be glad to get your question that way as well. But don't let your question go unanswered. Let's find out what God says about the topic on your mind as we let the Bible speak. And one more time, the voice line, 308-WJNI or 308-9564, and we'll let the Bible speak. Steve?
Yes, we know, as you know from listening to the program, that the person who calls in the questions or texts those questions in is really what helps this program go. And so we appreciate so much the spiritual interest of people out there who are wanting to know what the Bible says, who are studying the Bible, who are reading it, and coming up with questions. And that is so typical of the people in Berea. When the time of when Paul was on his missionary journeys, he'd gone from Philippi down to Thessalonica, down to Berea, and this was at the result of the Macedonian call that he received, and thus that sent him to Philippi. As he went on down towards Corinth, he would go through these different cities, and the city of Berea, he found some real interesting people there. And they're described in verse 11 of Acts chapter 17. It says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so." That's the kind of attitude that we all need, is it not? That's the kind of attitude we need when we go to church and when the preacher gets up and preaches something. We need to be examining the scriptures to see whether or not those things are so. And so as you're listening to the program today and you maybe have some questions, you might have some challenges or difficulties in understanding this passage or that passage, then we encourage you to call us up and let us have a try at it. And then as we answer the question, bear in mind these people in Berea, the attitude they showed as the word was preached, as they heard answers to the questions, was they searched the scriptures to see whether or not these things were so. And so we encourage you to have an open Bible as well as an open heart and mind, and have your pen ready that you can write down the scriptures that are the answers to your questions, and that then you go home and study those and compare that with what the Bible says and in context, and see if whether or not that is indeed the case. So we encourage you to take advantage of all these opportunities to learn the Word of God more completely. And that is such a great blessing and will be a great blessing for you, because therein are all the spiritual blessings that we can have through Christ Jesus. So we encourage you to call 308-9564. Again, 308-9564. Or you can text us at 725-9283. And please do not forget to redeem the time and call 553-5157 and sign up for that Bible correspondence course. And you can begin a wonderful, challenging, and enlightening trip through the scriptures as you learn more about God's truth.
You know, the good thing about that, Steve, is they can take that lesson and they can put it on their stand next to their bed, and they can study in the middle of the night, early in the morning, or whenever they would choose. And thus, hopefully, each of you that take this course will be able to look up, or will look up, all the scriptures to make certain whether those things are so, just like those Bereans did, to search the scriptures whether they're so. And then as you study those things, you will be listening to God as you see it in His Word. And so don't fail to avail yourself of this important means to learn what God says in His Word. That number again is 553-5157. We've seen there's been a couple of three I've noticed to call that number already. That is the number to enroll in the correspondence course, 553-5157. Now, if you have a question, call here to the studio. And this number here to studio is 308-9564. That's the number to call in your question. And we will take your question. It can be written down and brought into us. Or you can go live over the air and ask your question. Either way, you set the topic of discussion, and we'll let God be the one that answers that as we go to the Bible for those answers. Again, the live voice line here is 308-9564. And we'll let the Bible speak to the question that is on your mind. If you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283, 725-9283, and we'll get that here at the studio as well, and we're more than happy to answer the question that way as well. We thank you for your participation, and we hope and pray that you will be blessed not from us, but from what God says in His Word. And that's all we're hoping for, that you will be blessed based upon what God says in His Word. Again, the number, the voice line is 308-9564. The questions are now coming in, so we will go ahead and start answering some of these questions. 308-9564, that is the voice line, and the text line is 725-9283.
Yes, we want to thank Sandy. She sent a question in, And it's an interesting question. I've never heard this one before. And the question is, why do mega churches have law enforcement escort the preacher inside? Well, as we have had questions similar to this about church practices that really there's no Bible for, we always answer, you'll have to ask them why that is the case. There's really not much more I can say about that, and I don't want to speculate on what the reasons might be.
I just heard from a law enforcement person that that's what they do to all criminals. So I don't know if that's the case or not, but I heard it from a law enforcement person. So I don't know if that's the case or not, but you would have to ask them. The Bible doesn't say anything about that.
No, but I appreciate, Sandy, you asking that question and informing us, giving us some insight into how things work in mega churches, and good luck with getting an answer to that question.
You know, mega church, again, there's a phrase that's just not in the Bible at all. Matter of fact, the word church in the Bible is not even exclusively a spiritual term. The word church refers to a mob, or ecclesia refers to a mob in the end of the book of Acts. And so what's important is not necessarily a building or even a grouping. What is most important is that we belong to Christ, to be part of Him. Jesus said, I will build my church, my ecclesia, my group. And if we're not in Christ, then we have nothing to do with Him. And so that's what's most important. We have another caller texting in this question. Their question is it biblical for a pastor to have apostolic covering, having an apostle overseeing a church? Well, that terminology is not biblical from the standpoint of having apostolic covering. And as far as even an apostle, the only apostle that I know of that was an overseer of the church was Peter. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, he says, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also a fellow elder. And so there he refers to himself also as functioning as that overseer, that elder overseeing the church. But his apostleship had nothing to do with the overseeing that was being sent to carry this message that Jesus sent them forward in Matthew chapter 28 as apostles. They were to go into all the world, preach the gospel, or make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The next verse, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And so that's what he sent them forward to do as apostles, to go and carry this message throughout all the world. And that's what they did as apostles. And as I said, the only one I know of that was identified with a flock was there mentioned in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2. Now, it's important to know that the word apostle literally means one sent, but it was a ascending by the Lord himself. Paul, later on, after the 12, he was called to be an apostle, one born out of due season, as he put it in one place. But he gives us here the qualities needed in order to be an apostle in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He's defending his apostle, himself being an apostle. He says, am I not an apostle? Verse 1, am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ, our Lord? Well, there we go. So he's defending his ability to be an apostle based upon his seeing the Lord. And so someone would have had to have seen the Lord in order to be an apostle, the risen Lord. Matter of fact, in Acts chapter 1, that's what the quality brought out there concerning their selecting the apostle to take Judas's place. And he defends this in as far as his apostleship, showing that that was necessary. So someone sent directly by the Lord would have been one that was an apostle. Now, some may say, well, I've seen the Lord and not have any proof of it whatsoever. It would just be their story. And so I would be very careful about that. Anyone that would call themselves that way. and would ask for proof of their apostleship, that they have the power to that the apostles had. And so if they can raise the dead, if they can speak any language at any time, speaking in tongues, and many other of the signs and wonders that God promised that they could do, well, then maybe you've got something. I would like to meet that person myself. And so, but as far as just because someone says that as a title, even the apostles did not claim apostle as a title. Now, if you doubt that, just start any one of the books of the New Testament that Paul wrote, and you never see him refer to himself as the apostle Paul. The word apostle is always used as a descriptor, never as a title. So just be careful, because we live in a dead end time, and we're going to be talking about some of these great deceptions in the Bible. It's time for us to take a break. We want you to know that while we're at break, you can continue to call in your questions, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. After this break, we'll go over some of those great deceptions that the devil has come up with, and we'll see what you think about that in response. And so we'll do that right after this break. But please know you can continue to call in your questions even while we are at break, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. We'll be right back. We want you to know we are happy to be able to get your questions, and we will go to the Bible for the answers that pertain to life and godliness right out of God's Word. We are thankful that you are listening, and we are thrilled that you care enough to be able to call in your questions. And also, those of you that have enrolled in the correspondence course, we are glad that you are doing that. The service is open now for you to be able to call and leave your name and information. That number, 553-5157, and we will get that course in the mail to you in tomorrow's mail. So don't miss out on this. We're happy to send it to you. Now, we promised here the top five ways the devil has deceived many religious groups today. And so just off of our, just pooling our thoughts together, we came up with, we boiled it down to a top five here. One, the first one that we won't share with you is the feeling that I have plenty of time. There are so many today that are religious minded, and they only are religious minded on Sunday. They have a Sunday face or a church face, or they put on their religious clothes and their religious attitude only on Sunday. But then come Monday, they just live like the devil. And, of course, that's just absolutely wrong. The Lord expects us to be able to be living sacrifices, wholly acceptable unto Him, that we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And as far as time, what if right in the middle of living like the devil, we end up losing our life? James 4 and verse 14 says, "What is your life? It is but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." So that's one way the evil one has deceived the hearts of many, even religious folks. The next one, number four, counting down from five. What I think or what I feel equals what God says. Well, that's just not, again, that is a deception. In Acts chapter 23 and verse 1, Paul had scripture actually that he was obeying when he was killing Christians. The Old Testament made it very clear that if someone tries to convert someone away from Judaism, that they were to be put to death. And so he lived in all good conscience, but he was sorely wrong, absolutely wrong, even though his heart was right, his conscience was right. It's just the information that he was living under had been updated by none other than Jesus Christ. And so when Jesus appeared unto him and told him that it would be told him in the city what he needed to do, it brings out that he did not eat or drink for 3 days until Ananias what came to tell him what he needed to do to be saved, because he was lost in his sin. So what I think and what I feel and my conscience is not necessarily what God is saying or what God wants us to believe. We need to make certain that our actions and what we believe sync up exactly with what God says in His Word. James 4 and verse 17, that he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So we've got to have that good conscience. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Our faith must be built by what God says in His Word. Number three, here's a biggie. That is, the devil has been successful at causing churches to believe that worship is, it really doesn't matter how you worship. You can worship any way you want to. And as long as you go to church and are in worship, then that's all that matters. Well, there again, that is a great deception from the great deceiver, in that getting people to think that it's like punching a clock. You don't have to be productive. Just make certain your clock gets punched and you're there on Sunday, and then you can turn right back out and do what you want to do. As a matter of fact, with the subject of worship, Jesus said that God is spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. John 4 and verse 24. Verse 23 says that God desires such to worship Him. And so God wants us to worship, but worship is something we do. It is not just clocking in or clicking in or making an appearance. It is a practice where we are to worship in spirit, that is from our inner heart and mind, and we are to worship in truth according to God's Word. And He has told us exactly, let me repeat that, He has told us exactly what we're supposed to do when we do gather together as His people to worship Him in spirit and in truth. It includes the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. That's what they did back then, and that's what we should be doing today. We can go into more detail on that if you like, but the whole idea or philosophy of that worship is just an activity to check off a list rather than an activity to be doing and practicing, again, is a great deception by the deceiver. Number two, counting down the top five ways the deceiver has deceived religions today to believe that they are right. Number two is, when he gets church members of whatever persuasion or denomination to think that they are saved, even to the point to where many of them think that it is once saved, always saved, and yet they are still in their sin and lost. If they were to die in said condition, they would be still in their sin and lost, even though they are fervent, they are sincere, they are at the church every time the doors are open, so to speak, yet they have not done what Jesus said about how to get into Christ. Now, that will be revealed in the correspondence course, by the way. Those of you that have gone through that, you've seen the answer right in the middle of the course. So don't miss out on getting this correspondence course in the mail to you today. That number is 553-5157. And the number one that we came up in our list here, that we came up here among us that work with this program, the number one way that the devil has gotten people to believe things are right when in fact they are wrong is getting people to think feelings trump the scriptures. Oh, yeah, I know what the Bible says, but I feel. Yeah, I know what God says, but I think. Yeah, I see that in the Bible, but I believe. No, feelings, beliefs, and even warm feelings as far as our faith. If our faith is not built from the Word of God, then it is not a faith that will save. The Scriptures are going to be what we're judged by one day. And if anyone tries to get you to put aside the Word of God for the sake of following feelings or even experiences, then, my friend, that person is not a friend of God. And if you follow such instructions, you will not be a friend of God as well. Even in the Old Testament, that was tried. King Saul followed his feelings and the whims of the people. Where Samuel said, the prophet of God, it's better to obey than the sacrifice. We've got to obey what God says. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, that's simple, isn't it? Well, some people think that's just too simple. But it is not. So those are the top five things that churches have bought hook, line, and sinker, and the devil is behind it all. My friends, let's not be deceived by him anymore. Let's let the Bible speak. Again, the lines are available, 308-9564, 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak. You can go live over the air, or you can have your question written down and brought into us. But don't miss out on getting your question answered on today's broadcast. 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283.
Now we get an opportunity to test some of those five things that we've talked about with this particular question. This is from Sanya or Sonia. I don't know whether that's an A or an O.
Sonia.
Okay, sorry. And the question is, what are the signs of the end of the times? Now, typically, that question arises out of Matthew chapter 24. So if you've got your Bibles handy, please turn to that chapter. And the setting here is that Jesus is in Jerusalem. This is the last week of his life. He's already entered the city on a donkey, on the colt of a donkey. If you're familiar with that passage in Matthew, we just studied that today in the teenage class in Mark chapter 11 is where it is in Mark's account. And the what happens prior to 24 is very important because this helps us see a context, and Jesus looks over Jerusalem, and he mourns over Jerusalem. This is after he's already given the woes to the Pharisees and Sadducees for their hypocrisy. And in verse 35, he says that upon you, speaking of Jerusalem, may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of the righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Berechias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. And then verse 37, he pleads for Jerusalem and mourns for Jerusalem, that he would have gathered them as a hen gathers the chicks, but they would not. And then verse 38, he says, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Well, then in chapter 24, the apostles are with Jesus as he departs from the temple, and they're saying what wonderful structure this is. And Jesus makes the startling announcement that there shall not be left here one stone upon another, then that shall not be thrown down. And so then that prompts the question from the disciples in verse 3, tell us when these things shall be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world. So that's where this question typically comes from. Well, notice Jesus' response, and very carefully he says, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Then he talks about the things that oftentimes people look at the signs of the times. You shall hear of wars, rumors of wars, and you have nation rise against nation. Verse 7, I'm kind of summarizing these things for sake of time. It says, these are the beginning of sorrows. Then he said, many shall be offended. Many false prophets will come in verse 10. Iniquity shall abound. The love of many shall wax cold, verse 12. And then verse 13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. But then he says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all the nations, and then shall come the end. And then he says, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them in Judea flee into the mountains, those in the housetops not go back to their house, pray that it not be on the Sabbath, and other descriptions concerning the end of the destruction that he's coming. And so the sign of the end of the times has to do with the destruction of Jerusalem. That is the topic, the context that he's talking about, and particularly in verse 34, he says, this generation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. So it's in that context of this judgment that's going to come upon Jerusalem that happened in 70 AD. So the signs of the end of the times is not something yet to come, but something that has already happened. We've gone up on a break, hard on a break, and so we'll have to leave right now, and we'll look forward to you on the past the break. And I don't mind telling you, things are a little quiet here. And if you've been listening for weeks on end and saying, you know, I just never have time to dial the phone, or everybody else is dialing the phone, so I'll just sit and listen. Well, today is your day, because we're not getting many phone calls. Who knows what all is going on out there in the world. But if you're listening to the program and you've always wanted to dial in a question, then please do that. Just pick up your phone and dial 308-9564. And maybe you're just not bold enough to call at this particular time. Then you can text your question in at 725-9283. So we elicit all of your calls and questions. And please, we invite you to call in at any time you can.
Again, the voice line is 308-9564, 308-9564, and we can get your question. You just let it ring if you call right now. We have a text question that's coming in. Their question, the last three digits, their phone number is 143. First of all, thank you so much for listening, and thank you for your question. They want to know, does the devil have physical form? Does the devil have physical form? Well, in the only physical form that we see describing him would be in Genesis, where he was described as a serpent, and that he would have to crawl around on his belly because of his temptation and causing such a problem there. But as far as him being a physical being, he would be like the angels. Matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with verse 13, it says, "For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ." And no wonder, verse 14, we're in 2 Corinthians 11:14, "And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light," into an angel of light. So he can look like an angel of light, it says there. In 2 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, he's described as likened to a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. In Job chapters 1 and 2, we see him going to and fro throughout the world, accusing. He's called the accuser of the brethren. And so he's accusing, he is cunning, he is tempting, he is very, very active. He knows the Bible backwards and forwards. He's had, you know, from the very beginning, the ability to learn about that. So my caller, I would encourage you to, rather than worrying about his physical, one thing we probably do know, he doesn't look like that red creature with the forked tail and the horns and such like that. That is completely made up by man. And so that is not a description of him at all like that in the Bible. So you can just throw those away in your mind. But he is our adversary. He is our enemy, and he will do everything within his power to keep you from hearing the truth that may be taught on this broadcast. So you can expect, I bet you've had a lot of interruptions during this broadcast, haven't you? Yes. And why is that? Okay, he does not want truth being taught at all, unless it's his truth. Earlier in the broadcast, we gave you five things that he has gotten many religious groups to swallow hook, line, and sinker. Well, he doesn't mind them discussing their limited truth, but if you take a measuring tape and you leave out 10% of the measurement, your answer is just not true. We see that when it comes to the world and everything. But when it comes down to Scripture, somehow he has gotten us to believe that we can just delete a little bit of truth and still end up with truth. And, of course, you see how wrong that is. And so you probably, we all should be more concerned with, instead of what he looks like, to what he does, which he is very, very cunning at. So thank you so much for your question. We sure do appreciate it very much. We've had several questions come in right now, so we'll go and try to deal with these as quickly as we can. Steve?
Question from Sonia, and she asks, why do so many preachers say, do the sinner's prayer if it's not in the Bible? Well, that's a good question and one that really needs to be asked. Remember in our top five, one of our ones was false teachings concerning salvation or false assurances that are given concerning salvation. Now, one of the passages I'd like for us to look at, Galatians chapter 1, 6 through 9. We talked about this at the top of the broadcast. And I am somewhat surprised, as I think probably all of us are who know the Bible, that people give such answers that are not in the Scriptures. And so Paul was marveled at that too when he says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Well, if you're saying, preacher is saying something different than what the apostle said in the New Testament, then it's a different gospel. And so it's interesting that there are at least four passages in the book of Acts where people ask, what must I do? What must I do to be saved? Or in the case of the eunuch, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? Now, those questions are important because if you look at the answers to those questions, then that will tell you what you must do in order to be saved. And in none of those questions is the answer, pray the sinner's prayer. But the answers are repent and be baptized, believe and be baptized. And so those are the answers you're getting in the New Testament when people ask, what must I do to be saved? Let's look at one real quickly to kind of illustrate the point and make some observations out. Let's go to Acts chapter 2 and notice that when Jesus is preached, and this is important, when Jesus is preached, then people are convicted of that message, and in this case in particular, they were convicted of their sin of crucifying Jesus. So the question they ask in verse 37 is, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, what was the answer that Peter gave? And if we can understand that answer, then we can understand what we need to do. And Peter says, repent and be baptized.
Matter of fact, if that caller has the ability to get on the internet, you can go to our website, which is www.biblealone, and hit Bible Materials button on the left-hand side. You'll see the third file down mentions conversions recorded in the book of Acts. And there you'll have a chart that actually maps out in clear detail exactly what they did to become a child of God and to show themselves approved to God in the first century. And you can print that out and give it out as much as you want. You're welcome to it.
Oh, I appreciate that. And that's a great, great, helpful resource to depend upon. And you may not have done that, and maybe you feel like you're saved. And well, that talks about one of the other top five we've talked about. Are you going to let your feelings trump what the Bible clearly says? And so it may be that you're out there today listening, and you've been a person who was told to pray the sinner's prayer, and you prayed that, and you felt something. Well, I'm not challenging the fact that you felt something, but my question is, what did the Scripture say? What does the Bible say? What did the apostles tell people to do in the first century to be saved? And regardless of how I feel, that does not change what the Bible says. And so we would strongly encourage you to study first what those things were said. And that reference to that chart that Ricky just gave is a great way to check what you have done. And we encourage you to act upon what the Bible says and follow that.
We have a text question from the last three digits of 378. And their question is, can you give me scriptures for the duties of a wife and husband pertaining to how a Christian home should function? Oh, that is such an awesome question. Thank you. That question is not asked often enough, and thus we live in a day and a time where most homes are broken homes, and they don't even know why they got broken. And so you're wanting to head this off at the pass, and you're to be commended for that. So here we go. First of all, I would direct every husband and wife to read and memorize 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. Any translation would work in this passage. They're all good, it seems, and it tells us how to be able to love. Most people do not know that love is something we do. It's not a feeling alone. The Bible talks about four different kinds of love, and the one that is agape is not a feeling. It is a duty that I must do. It's always applied first person. It can never be applied second person. We can't ever judge anybody else. We should only judge ourselves in this. And thus, as you read that passage, just put your name in place of the word love and make it a test. You'll find out you will never fail it. I mean, never pass it. In 39 years, I've never passed that test. I always have a failure in that list. And so it is a lifelong pursuit to learn how to love. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. I would also direct you to Ephesians chapter 5 and beginning with verse 21 through the end of the chapter. It talks about husbands and wives' duties, how that the wife is to submit as unto Christ, as the church does unto Christ. It also describes husbands, listen up, Don't blank me out here, because many times we don't like hearing this. But husbands, we're instructed to love your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That we are to love her as ourselves, verse 28. And so it goes on with many other details that are absolutely important. That was Ephesians 5, 21 through the end of the chapter. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. The first six verses are dealing with the wife. The last four verses are dealing with the husband, and really both, the husband and wife. Don't miss this. That was 1 Peter 3, 1 through 10. Then one more passage. This is an awesome passage for wives. Proverbs 31, verses 10 through the end of the chapter. It describes a worthy woman. So those are passages that will help any husband-wife relationship. So hopefully that will be helpful to you. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, 1 Peter 3, 1 through 10, Ephesians 5, verses 21 through the end of the chapter, and Proverbs 31, verses 10 through the end of the chapter. Hopefully that is helpful to you. Thank you so much for that question. More homes need to consult the marriage manual of life in order to fix their homes the way they should be. It's time for us to take a break. Please know you can continue to call in your questions while we are at break. 308-9564, 308-WJNI is the voice line. Or if you'd rather text, you can text at 725-9283. We'll be right back. Now, we're glad that you're with us, and we hope and pray that you're being blessed, not by us, but by God's word, as we let the Bible speak, as we let God answer the questions that are on your hearts and minds. Please go ahead and continue to call in your questions. 308-9564 is the voice line. The text line is 725-9283. Remember, the Bible Correspondence Course is open to all. It is free. We're happy to send it to you absolutely free. We want to thank those of you that have already enrolled, and go ahead and continue to call 553-5157, and we'll be glad to send that course in the mail to you tomorrow. And so don't miss out on this. 553-5157. Please do not send us your money. Let us send you treasure that will never be taken away from you, and that will be from God's word itself. And so please go ahead and avail yourself of this. You don't have anything to lose but hell and all of its fury. So let's not play around with such a possibility of that. as that. So, again, 553-5157 for the free course to be sent to you in tomorrow's mail. Now, if you have a question, go ahead and call us 308-9564 or text us at 725-9283. Steve?
Yeah, one of our questions today is, why do many preachers charge fees when there are large programs or gatherings? Well, I imagine they do it because they feel that they need to provide the gathering or programs. But isn't it kind of curious that religion and money are so much a part of each other? I've talked to people and studied with people that they're a little bit frustrated, I guess, by all the different pleas for money. Now, in contrast to that, think about what Jesus and the apostles did. Jesus fed 4,000 and then he fed 5,000. Did he ever take up a collection of money to pay for that or to pay for the apostles' travel expenses or anything? No, never did. When he sent out the 12 apostles, did he tell them to take up money and to charge for their preaching or to charge for their miracles? No. In fact, the passages that we referred to earlier today, here's what he told them to do. He says that heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. And so that is what we see in the New Testament. That's what we try to abide by here. That's why we give this Bible Correspondence Course free. We don't encourage you to send in money to support this program. This is our work. And so when you start hearing and seeing practices like this, then go back to the Bible. What did the Bible do? What did Jesus teach? What did those things that they did have to do with money? And again, it was always free. The gift of salvation is free. The teaching of the Bible is free. And it's for you to obey and render yourselves for. And a follow-up question is, what role does tithing play in today's church? And again, a common question we have, and what the New Testament says is, in 1 Corinthians 16, to give as you have prospered. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 9 talks about that we should give as we've purposed in our heart, so we should do so liberally and with cheerfulness. So those are important principles as well. We have a live caller, and so we want to take him at this particular time.
All right, Lutalo, you're live. Can we have your question, please?
Thank you. I want to ask this question of the scriptures that relate to giving when ministers, preachers, and so forth ask about for collections when things are done. I want to get the scripture references on those, because I see it happens quite a lot when there's a gathering that it's almost always my experience that there's a crusade here and there. There's always my collection taken up regardless. There's never a time I've noticed.
Right.
In the very place I've been with, not been a collection taken. So I don't know.
Right.
The references that you have, I think I heard in the last part of the call just before mine, or your comment just a moment ago. Someone references to about that giving and about them not asking people to give. From the Bible.
Well, the two passages I gave Lotala was in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 8, and simply Jesus.
Matthew 10, verse 8.
Yes,
okay.
Sir. And then in, I don't know if I use this passage, but in referred to when Jesus fed the 5,000 and 4,000, he never took up a collection to provide for, you know, anything else. He just did the miracle. And then in Acts chapter 3, when chapter 3 and verse 6. And
Acts 3:6.
Yes, sir. Chapter 3, verse 6. And that's where the beggar wanted silver and gold, and Peter says, I don't have any. So they didn't go around collecting money. He didn't collect for that miracle. He simply did the miracle.
And the only instructions that we have as far as given to churches to do or commanded to do is in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2. And in the giving of that command, he gives a parameter that is not authorized or is not followed today in many churches. It says, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order unto the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay aside something, that there be no gatherings when I come." And so there the parameter is given that they were to do this on the first day of the week. Now, we look at our calendar. We call that Monday. Every calendar from the beginning of time has always had 7 days in a week. We do not know why, but I tend to think I know why, because of the creation in 7 days. But regardless, every calendar has always had that. So the first day of the week is the day that God expects us to give of our first fruits unto him. And thus that limits it. It limits it to that day because he specified first day of the week.
Which is Sunday.
Say it again? Yes, we call that Sunday in our calendar. That was in our calendar was invented 100 years after the Bible was finished. Thank you. Thank you so much for your question.
Thank you, man.
All right. Thank you. Have a good day. Again, the number is 308-9564, 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak to the question on your mind. We have this question coming in. They want to know, this was the last three digits, 141, a text question. If our God is such a good God, then why do so many bad things happen? Question mark. He gives his name, but I won't give that over the air. So let me just answer it with the Bible. In James chapter 1 and verse 17, it says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." That's a very poetic way of saying there's not going to be any give on this point. And that is, God only gives good gifts. The bad things that occur were from the evil one, or man himself has invented those things. And so I would encourage the writer of this question, just think about in your lifetime. How many of the things that have happened in your lifetime were caused by people? Maybe you are the people that caused it. Or maybe some other people. How many of those things were caused by people? Maybe it was by what they ate. Maybe it was because there was a drunk driver. Maybe there could be 1,000 other things that people cause these bad things to happen. But now, how many good things have you been blessed with from God? For example, you breathe, I would assume, that you eat of this fruit that just pops out of the ground every day that we eat of. That you have, you've enjoyed the sunshine, and there's a million other things that are good that came from our Father above. And so let me encourage you to look and see what good God is doing, rather than finding bad things and blaming God with it. The truth of the matter is, God doesn't give you those bad things. It's either the devil or man. And so let's give credit to whom credit is due. Now, when all is said and done, you might say, well, it was an act of God that killed so-and-so. Well, in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11, it makes it very clear there is another source. There is time and chance that happen. Time and chance happen to everyone. I feel time in my bones with arthritis. I see it in the gray hair on my head. Time happens. Now, is that a curse from God? No, that's just time. That's what happens with time. And then there is chance. What are the chances? If you play in the middle of a busy street, right on the yellow line in the middle, do you think that increases your chance of a disaster occurring? Oh, yeah. So sometimes we play those chances a little too close. So I hope that's helpful to you. Again, that's Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11. And the first passage was James chapter 1, verse 17. It's time for us to take our last break. Please listen up, everyone. We only have 15 more minutes to receive your call directly to get the Bible Correspondence course. So now's your last chance. Go ahead and call for the free Bible correspondence course to 553-5157. And go ahead and leave your name and address, and we'll get the Bible correspondence course in the mail to you right away. We'll be right back.
Our last segment, and so we want to be able to encourage you these last minutes to sign up for that Bible correspondence course. Again, that number is 553-5157. Please take the opportunity to do that now as you're thinking about it and as we're speaking to you about it. Again, if you've got questions, 308-9564. We got about 10 or so minutes left. And if you want to text us in, it's 725-9283. Again, that Bible correspondence course number is 553-5157. We encourage you to take advantage of that right now.
We have Tony calling in this question. Tony wants to know, why do some churches accept secret organizations such as the Masons while other churches don't? Well, Tony, of course, what you will have to do is to talk to those churches about that, because they have their own system of belief, their doctrines, and thus they are defined by those limitations that they go by. But now, if you want to go by the Bible, the only organization that God wants us to be part of is His church. Jesus brought out in Matthew chapter 16 that He would build His church. I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. So the church belongs to Him. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, He told the elders that He was talking to and teaching there through Paul. He says, take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. And so this church, the church that the people were added to on the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, verses 38 through the end of the chapter, you see they received the word and were baptized, and that same day about 3,000 were added. And in verse 47, we see what they were added to. They were added to the church by Jesus Christ Himself. And so that's the organization that the Bible talks about. And in Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 3, 4, and 5, it brings out that there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and there's one body in verse 4. And so if there's just one body, in Ephesians 1, verse 22 and 23 says that the church, which is His body. So if there's one body, there's one church. And so the Bible only speaks of this one group of people that belong to Christ. Now, there were different locations where those people gathered. For example, in Corinth, a church at Corinth, or at Ephesus, or Thessalonica. Those were locations where those people, but they all followed the same doctrine, the same teaching. Matter of fact, Paul said that he taught everywhere in every church, 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 17. Now, Tony, do you think that I could come and teach to all these different churches from God's Word? Oh, no, you're right. They wouldn't let me come, because all I'm going to bring is what the Bible says, and that will have no such restrictions as that particular denomination or church may have as far as what's being taught. And so sometimes the Bible, as we've already pointed out in today's broadcast, the Bible has been restricted, or things have been added to the Bible to cause people to believe things that just are not condoned in God's Word. So let's make certain that we just accept what the Bible says, nothing more and nothing less. And as far as whatever man may invent, well, it's not going to be added to what God says. What we've got to do is just listen to His Word, and His Word is unchangeable as He is, and thus we've got to listen to what He says in His Word, or else we'll be accursed. Again, the number 308-9564. You better hurry to get your question in before the end of the broadcast.
We have a question here from Ricardo concerning the devil. Interesting question. Can the devil repent if he wants to? Well, that would be great, wouldn't it? It'd be great if the devil would repent. Question is, can he? There's a certain aspect of this that we need to think about. And one is that the devil has a prepared place. Jesus, in Matthew 25, as he talks about the judgment, he says in verse 41, to those who are on the left hand, he said, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." It appears from that verse that according to Jesus, according to God, that the devil was not going to, or either not able to, or he knew he was not going to, choose to repent. Whether he could or could not, he would not repent. And then in Revelation 20, verse 10, talks about that the devil will be thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone as well. And that, from God's perspective, looked like a sure thing. Now, the thing for us to think about is we still have freedom of choice. Are we going to let our hearts be hardened to the point that we cannot render obedience to God? And that's the concern that we need to have. And so let your heart always be soft and open to the words of God. Ricky?
Yes, we have this caller calling in. Says, "A preacher told me giving food to the needy is a burden to the church. Is that true?" Well, let's just let the Bible speak to this question as well. As far as it being a burden, there is a verse that that he may be referring to. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, it talks about widows indeed and how that they are supposed to be taken care of. In the same process, it says that the man is supposed to take care of his own family in verse 8, and if he doesn't, he's worse than an infidel, and that they are supposed to take care of their own needy within their family, the first half of the chapter brings out. Then in verse 16 it says, "And if any believing man or woman has widows, let them relieve them, and do not let the church be burdened, that it may relieve those who are really widows." And so it talks about the welfare system that existed in the first century was not the government, but it was God's people. The families were supposed to take care of themselves, and if they could not take care of themselves, then needy saints could also be helped with the funds that the church put together. We can see this practice in Acts chapter 2, chapter 4, the last verses in each of those chapters, and then chapter 6, the first few verses in chapter 6, and then also chapter 11 and verses 27 through 31, we see churches helping needy saints. Now notice all of those passages specify those that are in Christ, the believers, those saints were the only ones that the church was to take care of. And so the church is not burdened with the task of feeding the world's hungry. Matter of fact, Jesus said, "The poor you will always have with you." And so that is something that will always exist here, at least in the United States. Most of the time it's by choice that there are poor. But the rest of the world, there are a lot of needy people that are in need, as the Bible defines need. The Bible defines need in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 10, and then also in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through the end of the chapter. A need is lack of food or clothing. That's what makes one needy. Doesn't even mention a roof over your head. So homeless people, according to the Bible, would not fit into the definition in those two passages, at the least, of what needy is. So hopefully that's helpful to you. That's Acts 2, 4, 6, chapter 11, 27, and then also 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse, I believe it was verse 16, if I'm not right. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 16, that is correct. Okay, next question.
Yes, we have a question from Irving, and he asks, "What scriptures talk about a man having long hair?" And the passage, at least, that comes to my mind immediately is in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14. And in this context, it talks about the distinction between male and female, and in particular regarding length of hair. And so verse 14 says, "Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a dishonor to him?" Now, the word Nazarite vows in the Old Testament, but this is the New Testament. The New Testament teaches that that is a shame for a man to have long hair.
Okay, we are running down to the end of our program. We want you to know how much we sincerely appreciate your participation today. and especially your interest in knowing what God says in His Word. Please don't miss out on calling in and getting the Bible Correspondence course. That number will still be available 24/7, actually, but you can call right now and get the course on your way tomorrow, and that is calling 553-5157. We are so thankful that you desire to invest in eternity by looking into His Word and to be able to find the answers that only God can give. I trust that you know, based upon this program and you listening, that you know that physical things are not where it's at. It's not money. It's not going to be position. It's not going to be power. But it'll only come, this fulfillment that God wants you to have, will only come from yielding to His will, His Word, obediently loving Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Please remember, it will not come through physical things. What we have to do, if we're going to be pleasing to God and prepared to meet Him face to face, we must let the Bible speak.